This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hello, it's Thursday, the 2nd of April 2020. This is Stuck at Home because just like you, we're all stuck at home too. My name is Bex and I'm joined by my friend Dan.
Hello.
And Connor.
Hey, Bex.
So in this episode, we're going to be chatting to television legends Dick and Dom. We'll discover just what makes our eyes so brilliant in an episode of Professor Halleck's Build a Body. And we're going to give you some things to try, to do and to listen to at home. So let's get going. Now, we're doing this from the comfort of our very own bedrooms in our homes. So if it's a bit jumpy or bumpy or a bit robotic, bear with us because just like you, we're all stuck at home too and we're doing this all online. So I want to know what you've been up to that maybe our listeners could try at home. So Connor, what have you been doing?
So I'm going to set everybody a little task. Now, I play football and I love to do keepy-ups. So yesterday I was in the garden, I was just messing around and I set a record for myself of 35. So I set everybody the task of trying to beat 35. So if you think you have it in you, grab yourself a football, get outside in the fresh air and get keepy-upping.
You did 35 keepy-ups?
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it?
35 keepy-ups, yeah.
That's amazing. That's, I mean, at least 30 more than I've ever managed to do. What's the secret? How can you help us? What are the tips?
Well, there aren't really any tips. It's just a case of focusing and being able to do it. It's a bit of a sort of not a talent as such, but I feel like there's an art to it. And there's people listening that know what I'm talking about and they're going to be able to beat the 35. So what I'll do is I'll reduce it down to 20. Let's see if you can get 20 to start with. I feel like that's an achievable number. And let me know how you get on.
I have to say 20 is even more than I could do. I don't think I've done a keepy-uppy in my life. Also, I kind of like that part of your advice is just have a natural talent.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, of course. But it's also practice as well. I remember when I used to do them when I was a lot younger and I only used to use one foot and then I practiced a lot more and I was able to use both feet. And it's just a good pastime as well. You do them and then you look and it's like 2 hours into the day and you're like, brilliant. So I think after your work that you might have to do, after helping mum and dad out, get outside, get some fresh air, try and beat 20 keepy-ups.
Excellent stuff. And Dan, how about you? What have you been up to?
My idea of what to keep you busy, what I've been doing recently as we've crept into April, also helps you get outside. The problem is, while we are stuck at home, looking through the window, the hour or so that you do get outside every day, the weather is all over the place. So I'm trying to suck up as much of spring and of summer as we can. What I did yesterday, I made my own healthy milkshake ice lollies. Here's something that you can do. Obviously, it's in the kitchen, which means you'll need a grown-up just to help you out to make sure that you're all safe. You just need some milk. That's what I used for it. And then I put that into a blender, blitz that with some bananas, with some strawberries. I put a little bit of like chocolate spread in there as well. Mix that all together with the milk. I didn't use a specific amount. I just kind of did it by sight. And then I put them into paper cups that I'd found. I filled those all up. And then I put a little, like a lolly stick that I had. Maybe you'll have some at home too. So you've got this smoothie with a lolly stick sticking out of the top in your paper cup. Then I put them into the freezer. And then 4 hours later, I had my own ice lollies, which I went and sat outside in the blustery, windy garden and ate, just desperately trying to pretend it was the height of summer. So there's something you can do. You can find loads of recipes for these online, but milkshake ice lollies are absolutely what you can do to pretend that you're on a beach while you're stuck at home.
So Dan, sorry, but is this something that you like to do? Do you like to make the wrong foods at the wrong times of year? So during winter months, you're making ice lollies. And then during the summer months, are you making like warm pies? Is that how you work?
That's exactly how Dan works. I'm glad you got that, Connor.
No, not at all. What happens is I'm a big fan of having seasonal foods. In the summer, I eat a lot of strawberries. In the winter, I'll have a lot of root vegetables, swedes, cabbage, stuff like that. But I'm feeling, being stuck at home, I'm out of kilter. I'm out of whack a little bit. I don't really understand what day it is. It was only when my mum and dad reminded me yesterday that it was April that I at all realised we were creeping into spring. So really, we can have the different types of food whenever we like. No one really minds right now. That's why I'm having my ice lollies.
Well, you know what? It kind of got a bit of George's Marvelous Medicine halfway through, but you pulled it back in, to be honest, Dan. I think I might make them myself at home. They sound delicious. And I've got plenty of those ingredients as well. I've had a thing recently where I've got loads of friends and family who've got birthdays, but of course I can't go around and see them and give them a present. So I've got to get a little bit creative. Have you guys had this at all?
Not with friends, but it's my nan's birthday soon. So I obviously can't go around and see her. So I'll have to video call her. Luckily, we've got 2 weeks before it is her birthday, which means I've got 2 weeks to try and teach her what a computer actually is. And then I'll be able to wish her happy birthday remotely. What about you, Con?
I haven't actually experienced it yet. The only thing is, my birthday is at the beginning of June. And of course, with the isolation, we're not too sure when it's going to come to an end just yet. So I have had in the back of my mind, I wonder whether my birthday will be during this isolation period. So that is then. I'm thinking of ways to celebrate. Bex, what are you going to do to celebrate the birthday?
Well, Connor, I can help you out here because so far I've had 3 friends with birthdays at the moment. So for one friend, I video called her and I'd drawn a little picture and a little poster that said, "Happy birthday, Katie." And I just showed it to the screen. So it was kind of like giving her a card virtually, I guess, in a way. She appreciated the effort, I'm sure. For another friend, few of us got online at the same time and sang happy birthday to her in a voice chat. So as soon as she logged on, we were all there waiting for her and sang happy birthday really, really loudly. It turns out as well, I have some musical instruments in my house, so I definitely was the loudest. Also, for my third and final friend, we decided all of us would make a little video for him. And we all sang happy birthday, and then another person chopped it up, put it all together. So each one of us sang a different word of happy birthday in the little video. And my friend felt really loved and really appreciated. And even though he couldn't see any of us like physically, virtually, we were all there. So if you're stuck at home just like us, why don't you give those things a go? Do some keepy uppies, make some milk lollies, and say happy birthday to your friends. Only, of course, if it is actually their birthday. Tell us if you do that, send a message to funkidslive.com/stuck, and you could appear in a future episode.
Right, now it's time to pay another visit to Professor Hallux in his laboratory. He's telling us in this episode all about our eyes. And listen really closely, pay attention, because at the end of this episode, as always, we're giving you 3 quick questions, things that you can do at home to test your knowledge. Now, Professor Hallux Builds a Body is one of the hundreds of podcast series from us at Fun Kids. If you're looking for something to brush up on while you're stuck at home, head over to funkidslive.com/learn, where you can find out more.
Professor Hallux Builds a Body is produced by Fun Kids with support from the Wellcome Trust.
Again, medical magpies. I'm Nurse Nanobot, and it's time to join Professor Hallux again in his laboratory. Well, he called it a laboratory. It looks like a hurricane has blown through an operating theatre. What a mess! There are all sorts of concoctions brewing and machinery clanking, and what looks like a wheelbarrow full of gobstoppers. Don't think you'd want to put them in your mouth, though. Yuck! Brainbox Professor Hallux is attempting to build his very own human body, full of all those gory but very important bits. Let's find out what he's up to today.
Hi there, and welcome back to my lab. Sorry about the mess. Must run a duster around at some point, but there's just too much science to be done. So my work building a body continues, and today we're adding the eyes. Oh yes, lovely wobbly bobbly eyeballs. Of all the body parts, eyes are quite the most clever. And did you know that your eyes are the same size in your sockets as they were on the day you were born? That's why baby's eyes look so big. You tell him, Nurse Nanobot, whilst I juggle some jelly balls.
The white part of your eye is called the sclera. It contains the blood vessels that bring nutrients to your eyes. The transparent part of the front of the eye is called the cornea. Behind this is the iris, the coloured part of your eye. And behind this is a lens made of a firm jelly. Together, the lens and the iris help the eye to focus.
Oh, yes! Iris! It's far more than just the coloured part, though. It's actually a sphincter muscle. That's a muscle that tightens like a drawstring bag. The most well-known sphincter muscle is in your bottom. It's the one that keeps the poo in. but in your eye, the light out by tightening up when it's too bright. That's why your pupil looks like it's getting smaller in bright light. Try looking in a mirror and changing the light near your eye with a torch. Anyway, carry on, Nurse Nanobot. I'm stretching the eyelids over the eyeballs.
The eyelids that the professor is stretching help to keep the eyes clean and moist through a very complicated process called blinking. Blinking is both a voluntary and involuntary action, meaning you can blink whenever you want to, but you also blink without even thinking about it. Eyelashes also help to protect your eyes, just like umbrellas. Another way your eyes keep themselves clean is by watering when there's something getting in the way, like dust or an eyelash. It's the same mechanism that produces tears when we're sad, although no one is quite sure why this happens.
The insides of the eyeballs are really cool, but you can't see them with just your own eyes. Opticians and doctors use a special microscope called an ophthalmoscope to look at these inner parts of the eye.
The biggest part of the eye sits behind the lens, and it is called the vitreous body. This accounts for two-thirds of the eye's volume and gives the eye its shape. It's filled with a clear jelly-like material called the vitreous humour. After light passes through the lens, it shines straight through the vitreous humour to the back of the eye, which is where the retina is. The retina is like a movie screen onto which the light from outside is projected. Special cells called rods and cones process light. There are around 120 million rods and 6 million cones in each eye. So what do they all do? Well, rods see in black and white and in shades of grey and tell the form or shape that something has. Although rods can't tell the difference between colours, they are super sensitive and allow us to see even when it's dark. Cones sense colour. They need more light than rods to work well. There are three types of cones, each type being sensitive to one of three different colours: red, green, or blue. Together, these cones can sense combinations of light waves that enable our eyes to see millions of colours. Rods and cones process the light to give you the total picture.
All spot on, Nurse. If you look at a colourful jumper in a very dark room, you'll have trouble to see which bits are red and which are green. But you'll probably be able to see the pattern. That's the rods and cones in action.
And the information from the rods and cones is whizzed up the optic nerve to your brain, where the images are processed. The image from the lens actually shines onto the retina upside down. But your brain flips the picture without you even knowing.
Horrible old anatomy fact.
Cataracts or short sight? Most kids won't experience cataracts, but may have to wear glasses to correct their vision. The eye's squishy, stretchy lens is surrounded by muscles called ciliary muscles, which contract to change the lens between fat and thin. The lens's thickness changes when you look at things that are close or far away, so that the image is projected perfectly onto the retina. If these muscles can't change the shape of the lens quite enough, things might look blurry. And that's why people wear glasses or contact lenses, to give the eye's own lens a bit of help. Cataracts are an eye condition where the lens goes cloudy and mainly happens when you get old. Surgeons today can replace them with a plastic lens. But did you know that surgeons have been trying to remove cataracts for over 2,000 years? Bronze Age instruments have been found that pushed the lens into the back of the eye. And another gruesome way for getting them out was to suck them out with a straw.
You'd need a very strong suck to get the lens out. Although if you suck too hard, you might end up with the whole eyeball in your mouth. Chewy.
Disgusting detail.
And on the topic of eating eyeballs, in many parts of the world, eating animals' eyeballs, often sheep's or goat's eyeballs, is considered perfectly normal. even said to be a delicacy.
Absolutely true. Although I don't think it would be very tasty. It would probably be a bit gristly and goofy with all that vitreous jelly. Well, I hope that won't put you off your tea later. Well, my body's posh new peepers are just about in place. Last few adjustments. So let's let the lightning loose and see what he can see. Totally terrific! He's blinking perfect. Next, we will be adding some excellent ears to the body so he can hear what we're all on about. Hope you can join us then for more medical mayhem.
You can find out more about the professor and his body at the Fun Kids website, funkidslive.com.
Professor Hullock's Built a Body is produced by Fun Kids with support from the Wellcome Trust.
And you can get more from Professor Hullock's by searching for Professor Hullock's wherever you're listening to this show. I hope you are listening closely to that as well, because at the end of this episode, there are three quick questions that you can do at home to test your knowledge.
So now it's time to zoom over to the Week Junior magazine. They are making sense of the world right now. And I'm going to be chatting to my friend, Michael. So, Michael, hello. What have you got for us today?
Hello. So this story today is all about kakapos, which is one of our favourite animals here at the Week Junior. They are the world's largest species of parrot, and they live on islands off the coast of New Zealand. And Dr. Andrew Digby, who's a conservationist who works to help protect kakapos, has spoken with one of our writers at the Week Junior, Hugh, and described them as some of the world's strangest birds. They can't fly. They mainly come out at night, and they nest on the ground, which actually made them quite easy prey when humans brought cats and rats to the islands of New Zealand, which meant they went from being quite widespread to one of the world's rarest species of birds. However, last year, they had a record-breaking breeding season. The numbers went up from 147 to 213. However, just when it seemed like everything was going so well for the kakapos, they were struck by a disease which was infecting their lungs. However, some heroic vets have managed to help save them. So vets from Auckland Zoo, which is in a city in New Zealand, were managed to find the nests of kakapos that were most at risk, and they actually helicoptered them away from the islands into a hospital in New Zealand to have special scans to look at the inside of the body. However, the scans at the vets were broken, so they actually had to take the kakapos to a human hospital instead. And then the next thing they had to do was give these parrots the right drugs to help stop the infection. So to get the drugs into the bird's lungs, they had to use a device called a nebulizer, which is a machine that turns liquid into a spray that the birds can then inhale. However, the nebulizers in the hospital were too big for the kakapos, so the vets had to try and use a child's nebulizer instead. And luckily that worked, and they were able to save most of the kakapos. And while they needed some months to recover, thanks to the team's hard work, the population of kakapo is now at 211. So they've managed to keep most of the population intact and help preserve this rare species of bird, which is a great cause of celebration, particularly for us at the Week Junior, as we are such huge fans of kakapos. And if people look them up online, they'll be able to see why. They're a rather funny looking type of bird, very interesting type of bird. And now, thankfully, because of the actions of some heroic vets, they'll be able to hopefully keep on growing and get their population numbers back up to where they were before.
I mean, kakapo is just a fun word to say, if nothing else, let's face it. And also,
it is a very fun word to say.
Can you imagine being in the hospital and waiting for an operation or a scan and just being like, why is there a massive parrot-looking bird next to me?
Exactly, yeah. It'd be quite a strange sight.
It would be. And also, so we should say, they're back out now and they're hopefully going to multiply and they're going to be a lot better and we're going to carry on seeing more kakapos in the world.
Absolutely, yeah. They're back home now and feeling just as healthy as ever.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Michael. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
See you soon.
Super exciting times on the Stuck at Home podcast right now. I am joined with Dick and Dom. Gents, how are we?
All right. Hello, Connor.
Hello. Yeah, we're fine. We're absolutely fine. It's very weird because this is probably one of the longest periods of time we haven't seen each other.
It's only been a week. It's creeping up to two now.
Creeping up to 2 weeks. Is this the longest that you've never been next to each other then? Is this like a record?
I think so, apart from the occasional. I think Rich went travelling once, which was for about a month. So we've got to top that. But I think the chances are we'll probably get there.
How are you finding the isolation? We keep talking on the podcast just about fun things to do. How are you guys coping?
Some days it's okay, isn't it? You know, you find hundreds of things to do. And then the next morning you wake up and you're like, I don't know what to do with myself. I've got the whole day ahead of me. It's kind of difficult. You know, a lot of our work that we were doing is kind of in theatres or DJing in clubs and stuff like that. So obviously that's all gone a bit quiet for now. So we're kind of trying to find other things to entertain ourselves with.
But, you know, it's funny because, you know, in our line of work as well, you know, the kids who are listening won't know this, but the line of work that we do, you know, you have your agent who works for you to find loads of work. And usually they're emailing you. You usually get about 20 to 30 emails a day. And suddenly, because all businesses have stopped, they stopped contacting our agent, so our agent doesn't send through emails. So it's just really weird. Things you usually just take for granted as being everyday life things are slowly stopping. And it's very strange. But having said all that, what you can do, the only thing you can do is to try to find the positives in every single one of these situations and try and make the most of it. There's some lovely stuff online, like seeing all the goats coming back into villages in Wales. They're just coming back into the villages. And there's, I can't remember what country it was, but there's some deer that are coming back into the streets because there are no cars on the streets. And so slowly nature is kind of, it feels like it's kind of taking back its land.
Yeah, it's taking over what we are always using. I mean, I've been reading all of the articles about what this is doing for the world and how much it's almost giving the world a bit of a rest, isn't it? It's letting everything grow again. It's letting the air seem a little bit clearer. And we've been really encouraging all of the listeners to get outside, have fun, do things that maybe you don't do day to day. Any random things that you two have been up to outside?
Oh, outside. I know, Rich. You've been outside, haven't you?
Built a greenhouse.
What?
I love that.
No, not a big glass greenhouse. Just I bought one of those kind of greenhouses with plastic around it.
Are you growing?
Because I want to grow some. I'm going to grow some tomatoes. I'm slowly morphing into Alan Titchmarsh. Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting period.
Dickie Titchmarsh. Yeah. Oh, I think that's got a ring to it, Dick Titchmarsh. And I can be Monty Dom. So how about that?
But this is it. There's a massive list of things you can do outside, like gardening for one. But you like gardening, don't you, Dom?
I absolutely love gardening. Unfortunately, I'm in between houses in a rental property, so I don't really want to spend time doing up someone else's garden. But as soon as I'm in the new house, how I'm going to do that, I have no idea. But when I'm in the new house, then yeah, you're right. It's time to start sowing. We've got allotment space so we can grow, you know, corn and vegetables and fruit trees and all sorts of stuff. It's going to be good fun. It's very, very good for the mind being outside. And if you haven't got a garden and you live in an apartment, you can still go outside, just stretch your legs, stretch your mind. Going for a run, and me and Rich can vouch for this, is one of the best things you can do for your mind. It really is the best thing you can do. And I know Joe Wicks is doing a lot of stuff, but getting out and having a run really makes a world of difference.
The fresh air.
Get outdoors every day for at least half an hour, whether it's on your bike or running with the family. You know, there's hundreds of different exercises you can do outside, but just getting outdoors, getting some daylight is definitely important.
Do you know, I went for my 5K run this morning, and I saw an adult who was obviously decided to use this time productively to learn how to rollerblade. And in our park, there's a road that goes through it, which is obviously closed and cars can't get down it. And he was learning to rollerblade down this road. And I thought, what a good use of time, you know, learning skills that you would never, ever think about doing.
Well, yeah, I thought about learning a language, actually.
Did you?
I know for little people, it feels like being at school again. You know, I know you've got to be homeschooled and stuff, but, you know, why not try something that you would never learn at school?
Which one are you going to go for?
Well, I think Spanish, yeah.
Final thing just to get from you guys. Of course, you are the kings of kids TV. You're the kings of entertainment.
Thank you.
What would you suggest is a must-see during the isolation? Film or TV show? What are we watching?
Horrid Henry the movie, because we're in it.
Horrid Henry the movie, there we go, because you're in it. We'll give it a watch.
Yeah, because we're in it. It's one of Netflix's most popular kids' movies. So if you've got Netflix, go on there and have a look. It's hilarious, especially our bits.
Gents, thank you so much for popping on the podcast. It's been great to talk to you. It's really livened us up.
Cheers, look after yourself.
Cheers, Connor. Keep safe.
All right, so before we go, it's time to test you on that episode of Professor Hallock's Builds a Body that we heard a little bit earlier. So, 60 seconds on the clock, please. What is the coloured part of your eye called? Is it A, an iris, B, a cornea, or C, a pupil?
So the second question for you, which nerve sends images from the eye to your brain? Is it A, the synaptic nerve, B, the optic nerve, or C, the spinal nerve?
And question three, this is a true or false one, so listen up. The things that you see shine onto your retina upside down. What do you think, true or false? How did you get on? We're going to give you a few moments to answer those questions. They're written in the episode notes too, so you can have a look. And then we'll dish out the answers in just a sec. You can also recap the episode by scanning backwards, playing it again, finding out for yourself. And if you need some more time, now is the point at which to pause the pod and then tap play again when you're ready.
Okay, let's get some answers, shall we? For the first question, what is the coloured part of your eye called? The answer is A, iris.
And the second question for you, which nerve sends images from the eye to your brain? The answer was B, the optic nerve.
And your final question today, the things that you see shine onto your retina upside down. That is true. Everything is really upside down, almost back to front when you see it, and then your brain switches things around. Well done if you got the right answer there.
I didn't know you knew so much about the eye. That's amazing. Well, if you knew as many of the answers as Dan did, let us know. Tell us how you did. Go to funkidslive.com/stuck. And remember, if you're stuck at home just like us, you can try giving all those things a go that we mentioned earlier. Maybe challenge yourself to do 20 keepy uppies in a row. Perhaps you could make some milk ice lollies. Or maybe, like me, you've got a friend whose birthday is and you want an imaginative way of saying happy birthday. So that's it from me, Bex, and goodbye to Connor.
Bye, Bex.
And goodbye to Dan.
Goodbye. I gave you a hearty bye because Connor sounded a little bit sad. So bye, Bex.
Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get this podcast. And you can hear more tomorrow. Bye. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.